Introduction. Why were you born? Where did man come from? Is human life the end result of blind evolution devoid of any purpose? Or is human life a special creation of an all-powerful God? If someone were to ask you these questions, how would you answer? What if there actually is a great little-known purpose for human life? Wouldn't you want to know? To understand? How and where can we discover this ultimate secret, this mystery of the ages, the true purpose of human life, of your life? It is a startling fact that none of the great philosophers, scientists, or religionists, ancient or contemporary, know why human life exists. In spite of their various theories, they are unable to demonstrate any overarching purpose for human life. Nor can they account for the reality that man and woman have such great potential, can do such marvelous things, yet possess a nature that is absolutely destructive and only ends in death. Why do they, of all people, not understand? In their grossly misguided efforts to comprehend human existence, they have rejected the fact that there is a Creator God who has sovereign rule over the heavens, the earth, and all life. They do not consider that God has revealed himself to mankind through his creation, and that his inspired word, the Bible, reveals his purpose for creating man. In spite of the fact that today there are billions of Bibles covering every major language, they arrogantly reject it. At the same time, they tenaciously cling to their empty faith in the theory of evolution and vain religions. Thus, by scornfully rejecting the Word of God, they dismiss the only source that can truly answer the question, what is the all-encompassing purpose of human life? This book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why Were You Born?, lays out in a step-by-step sequence the mind-boggling truth from the Scriptures of God's loving, incredible plan and purpose for your life. An overview of the mystery of God. In the ages of eternity past, long before the foundation of the world, God devised a plan that would expand his divine family of immortal spirit beings. This plan is rooted in God's magnificent love, for God is love, 1 John 4, verses 8 and 16. It is a reflection of his desire to share all that he is and all that he has. But how would God accomplish such an incredible feat? The focal point of this plan was God's creation of man and woman. His love for them is clearly manifested by the fact that he said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. He created them male and female. Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Imagine that, being created in God's own image. The creation of Adam was unique and exceptional, for God personally formed him from the dust of the ground with his own hands and breathed into him the breath and spirit of life. Then, using one of Adam's ribs, God formed the first woman, Eve, also a unique creation. Adam and Eve were the pinnacle of God's physical creation, and he gave them the whole world as a gift. God blessed them and said, "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of heaven, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that crawls upon the earth. Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it." Verses 26 and 28. Two things stand out from this key passage. The aspect of having dominion over the earth is an early hint at mankind's awesome worldwide purpose. And the fact that God created humans as male and female, able to reproduce after their own God image kind, hints at God's desire to expand his family. So beautiful and wonderful was God's creation of the world and of man and woman that he saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was exceedingly good. Verse 31. The power of human free moral agency. God did not create mankind to be automatons or pre-programmed, unthinking mechanical robots. Rather, because of the wonderful godlike abilities he created within man and woman, he gave them independent free moral agency. The ability and obligation to choose and decide for themselves how they would live. This is why God gave them his laws and commandments, which if they chose to obey, would lead to a blessed physical life. The tree of life in the middle of the Garden of Eden symbolized the way of God for mankind, which would lead to eternal life. But Adam and Eve would have to choose to believe God, to love him, and to keep his laws and commandments. God also placed in the garden the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but he strictly commanded them to not eat of that tree. He emphatically warned them that if they chose to eat of this tree, the result would be death. In dying, you shall surely die. Thus, this tree symbolized the way of man and woman choosing to live in disobedience to their Creator God. Would Adam and Eve use their free moral agency to decide for themselves what was good and what was evil instead of believing God? If they chose to eat of the fruit of this forbidden tree, they would bring upon themselves and their descendants the corrective punishment of God because of their sins. Moreover, they would be blinded to the true purpose of human existence. On the other hand, if Adam and Eve should choose to love God and obey him, he would bless them beyond imagination. Moreover, God would have revealed to them his ultimate plan for their eternal destiny, including the destiny of their progeny, all mankind. But using cunning deception, the serpent, Satan the devil, persuaded Adam and Eve to eat of the fruit of the forbidden tree, claiming that, in dying, they would not die. He promised that if they ate of this tree, they would become wise like God, able to decide for themselves what was good and what was evil. In the end, they chose not to rely on God. Rather, they would exercise their free moral agency and trust their own judgment. After Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, their eyes were indeed opened because they had practiced and experienced evil. But tragically, their minds were closed and they became antagonistic toward God. Their sin and rebellion against their Creator resulted first in God's judgment against the serpent, wherein God promised a future Redeemer who would destroy the works of the devil and give his life as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind, Genesis 3:15. In his judgment for Adam and Eve's sin, God placed over them the sentence of death, as he had warned, "In dying, you shall surely die." He then drove them from the Garden of Eden, denying them access to the tree of life. However, because it was vital to God's plan that they increase the human family through procreation, they did not die immediately, but lived for over 900 years. The ultimate destiny of mankind became hidden as the mystery of God. When God promised a future Savior, he also purposely delayed revealing his plan for mankind until that anointed one should come, which would be over 4,000 years later. Thus, God hid this knowledge from Adam and Eve and their descendants. This is why the Bible describes God's plan for mankind as the mystery of God. From the time of Adam and Eve until Jesus Christ, God only revealed certain aspects of this profound mystery to the few faithful patriarchs, such as Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Later, he revealed key knowledge to Moses and important prophecy of the coming Messiah, Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 22. When David was king over Israel, God revealed through the book of Psalms quite a number of details concerning the yet future life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as well as his coming world-ruling kingdom. Likewise, scattered throughout the books of the prophets are numerous additional aspects of the coming Messiah and his kingdom. When the appointed time came for Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, to begin his prophesied ministry, he chose special men to train as his apostles. Importantly, he told them that they would be given special understanding of the mysteries of God that had never been revealed to mankind. Jesus told them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, thus blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see and have not seen, and to hear what you hear and have not heard." Matthew 13, verses 11, 16, and 17. As Jesus' earthly ministry was coming to a conclusion in 30 AD, he told his apostles that he had yet many things to reveal to them, but added that they were not able to handle such exceptional knowledge at that time. However, he promised that after he was raised from the dead and returned to heaven, he would begin to reveal new understanding to them through the power of the Holy Spirit, John 16, verses 12 through 15. Just as promised in 52 to 56 AD, over two decades after his resurrection, Jesus began to reveal key aspects of the hidden mystery of God, beginning with the sonship of God, Galatians 4, verses 5 and 6. Then, in 61-62 AD, the Apostle Paul wrote that God had revealed to the apostles and prophets the full mystery of God, the mystery that has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has now been revealed to his saints, to whom God did will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery, Colossians 1, verses 26 and 27. As found in the New Testament writings of his apostles, Jesus indeed gave them the full revelation of the secret mystery of God. the profound ultimate destiny of the called, chosen, and faithful. This is the revelation of God the Father through Jesus Christ concerning His plan for you. It answers the ultimate question, why were you born? And it reveals your future from a speck of dust to a Son of God.